Are you ready to learn the difference between just teaching social-emotional skills and actually seeing your students using them? In my free guide, you will learn the 5 simple steps in planning effective social-emotional lessons. Additionally, you will see real-life examples from the classroom, and you'll get a bonus social-emotional skills checklist. Get ready to feel confident and prepared to teach social-emotional learning, and grab my free guide today to unlock all the secrets. You can grab the guide at kindergartencafe.org/social-emotional-lessons. Again, that's kindergartencafe.org/social-emotional-lessons. Hey, teacher friends, it's Ziba from Kindergarten Cafe, and today I have a special guest on to help me talk about a question that one of you listeners emailed in to ask for some help. So I'm excited to jump in. I do want to apologize. I do have a cold. It is February and the germs are a-flowing. So sorry that my voice sounds not normal. Hopefully you like it. Anyway, let's get right into the interview. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Ziba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. Hi, everyone. I'm here with Jenna from Instagram at ThatStrongTeacher, and I'm so excited to have her on. She is an expert in all things classroom management, but today I have a special project for us to talk about. But before I do that, Jenna, will you please introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your teaching journey and all that.
So I am so excited to be here and be on this podcast with you. And we'll talk to all the amazing teachers. But my name is Jenna Everts. I have my Instagram at ThatStrongTeacher. And like you said, I absolutely love classroom management. I've been teaching for 11 years in the classroom, and I have a new role where I'm coaching teachers in classroom management as well. And I coach teachers from basically throughout the whole world, which is so amazing. And I'm looking forward to eventually a new role where I'm coaching teachers in New York City, which is going to be amazing. But I've taught in my 11 years of teaching, I've taught second grade, third grade, and fourth grade. And like you said, I'm so passionate about all things classroom management at the elementary level. So I'm so excited to be here and talk to all of you amazing teachers.
Well, classroom management is something we always want more help with and more advice on. And we will get to that because I'm sure you'll have some wisdoms to share with us. But I really wanted to have you on the podcast because I got an email from someone asking for some help. She wrote that she was wanting advice on working with and getting along with grade level teams, specifically how to handle communication issues, feeling heard, dealing with bossy or snobby teammates, and balancing your style while still being part of the team. So I'm wondering, what has your experience been like working with grade level teams?
So I've worked with a lot of different teachers throughout when I taught third grade, and I've taught fourth grade, and I taught second grade. So I've been on many grade level teams before. Let me just go take you back basically to when I taught third grade. So my first year of actual teaching, I was only with one teacher, and we got along really, really well. We planned together and we had a great year. And even though I was having difficulty with classroom management, which is why I started my Instagram in the first place, we always communicated. We always met. A really big key is meeting during your prep a lot of time as much as you can, because I know that it's really, really hard to get that prep time. But definitely meeting on your prep and being on the same page with planning is so, so important. So that year, we were definitely on the same page because we communicated really well. We always met, and she made sure to help me as a new teacher. And I asked her any questions that I had. So that was a very, very good year. Then fast forward to I worked in second grade, and I had a grade level, and I was new to the grade level. So it's also different, I think, that when you've been teaching on a grade level and then when you're the new person entering a grade level. So that year was a little bit harder, and it was because I worked with an ICT pair. I was the gen ed teacher, and they were basically best friends, and they got along super well because they were best friends and they just happened to be working together. And then I was almost like the odd person out, and it was definitely harder to communicate with them, but it ended up being, you know, there was a situation where I wanted more support as a new teacher on the grade. Even though I had been teaching for a few years, I still was new to the grade, and I wanted some support. And it was hard to almost ask, right? But it got to the point where it got a little bit funny, where they knew that something was wrong. So we finally talked about it, and it helped so, so much. And we met, we expressed our feelings, and that's really, really important, communicating when you need to, right? And it was like, I got the weight off my chest and saying like, I need more support. I'm new to this grade. You're doing such amazing things in your classroom. I would love to know how you organize your classroom, how you manage your classroom. And when we finally communicated about it and shared more, it helped so, so much. So sharing resources is really, really important too. Then I'm going to take you into another year.
Let me just pause for one second. What's ICT?
Okay, so ICT is inclusive co-teaching. So when you work with
every school loves their own acronyms.
So it's just a co-teaching pair.
Okay. So and for special ed and general ed. So they were co-teaching in their in one classroom, and you were the other classroom.
Yeah, there were only two classrooms. They were in they were a co-teaching pair, and then I was in my own classroom. Yeah. So it was just me and them.
That's tough. Okay.
So it was a little bit hard, but when we finally spoke about it and, you know, using I feel statements like we would teach our kids, it was things definitely got better.
Well, and I think, I'll let you say your other experience first, because everything you're saying, I'm like, yep, I've had that. Yep, I've had that. Okay. So keep going, and then we'll dive in.
Okay. Then fast forward to my most recent team that I worked with, and it was a lovely team. We got along incredibly well. And another key is that it was a bigger team. So instead of just having, you know, being with just one teacher or being with just two teachers, there were about eight teachers on the grade.
Wow.
So you were able to get along separately with different people on the team and figure out like who you were better, you know, who you were close with. But overall, I think the difference is that we shared resources on, a big thing was that we shared resources online. We also communicated really, really well. And I have this little framework that I want to share that will be super helpful to those who are listening that I actually teach, I use to coach the teachers in my membership. And I say that you want your colleagues to be your number one fans. And fan stands for something. So the F is first impression. The A is always celebrate. The N is team mindset. And the S is share. So if you do these things, you can make a really good, basically, team. So for example, with the new team, there was one girl that was new to the grade. I set a really good first impression with her because I helped her organize her library. Even these little things really, really helped. The A, we always celebrated things together. So we celebrated birthdays. We celebrated when we got tenure. We celebrated, for example, I got married. They were there at my mini school bachelorette party. We went to happy hour together. That's a really big thing. And you could start it up for your own grade, right? You could start it up for your team. And the N, we worked as a team. We had a Google Drive, and we put all of our resources on the Google Drive, and we shared everything. And it was easier than just putting paper in each other's mailboxes because we had the resources whenever we needed them, right? And then the S is, I said the share, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, but also share how you're feeling. So not just share physical resources, but share how you're feeling. make, you know, if something's uncomfortable, especially if you work in a co-teaching pair, you need to let them know. You can't just hold it in because you go to work every single day. And that's only going to build up and make you feel more and more uncomfortable. Of course, you can move on the next year if you want. You know, tell your admin, hey, you know, in the nicest way, this is not working out. And I'm sure they'll honor your request, obviously. But it, you know, you do need to communicate because you have to remember that you go into work every single day. And that's always the way that I thought about it. It could only get better, hopefully, right? If you communicate your feelings. And if it gets worse, you know, it can't be any worse than how you're feeling. So
I'm resonating with all of this. I really like your acronym. That's awesome. I think, like I said, everything you're saying, I'm like, yep, I've had that kind of experience. Oh, yeah, I've had that kind of experience. And, you know, I think there's two kinds of teams in my head when I hear about other teachers or like teams that I've experienced or like talking to my teacher friends. There's the teams that are like plan everything together. And it's kind of like almost like you have to do things like together. And like sometimes it starts totally like you're just planning together. But then if someone else joins, it's like, well, no, this is what we do. And then you have the teams where it's like, no, everyone's doing their own thing and everyone's off on their own. So I don't know. I've experienced both. I've heard about both of those. I've like dabbled in both of those. But I think for both of them, you advocating for yourself is really important. So in terms of like the team that does things on their own, especially if you're new, like it's okay to ask. It's okay to say, hey, I'm new to this grade level. What do you like to do for morning meeting? Or, hey, how are you thinking of this upcoming math lesson? And then as soon as you ask, like people are not going to be like, well, I'm not sharing that with you. No, they'll be like, oh, of course, like here's what I'm doing. It's just they're not used to giving that out. Like they're not used to collaborating together. But it does take a little bit of that ego of like, oh, I have to ask. You know, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask your teammates like, hey, what you have been doing this or what do you think about this? And then the other kind where it's like, no, this is what we're doing. It's okay to also accept the resources and accept like, oh, great. Thank you. Like, this is so great. Thank you for that copy. Thank you for this plan. And then to shut your door and do what you want as well.
I agree. And like you're saying, I know what you're saying with the whole two different types of teams, right? Because even at the same school, like the second grade team that I worked with, that I just talked about how we were definitely our number one fans, I would call it FANS. Another group I worked in fourth grade before that, and they were a wonderful team as well, but definitely on different pages occasionally, whereas we always wanted to, in second grade, follow the pace and calendar together. So you get those teams where you could get along really well also, but be on different pages. But as long as you check in, I think the key is it's okay if you're on different pages. I think it's easier and you're more collaborative if you're on the same page. But sometimes that could feel like a lot of pressure as well to always follow the pacing calendar, to always be on the same page, right?
Well,
I think
so the like
point is checking in.
Yes. But also if, you know, it's tough when the pendulum swings and curriculums are changing. If you're the newbie, you're kind of tapped to be the one to try out the new changes. Whereas when you've been doing it for a while, you really don't want to do the changes necessarily. And that can cause some friction too of like, well, I'm feeling like, especially when you're new and you're trying to work towards that tenure, you're trying to get professional status, you want to do things by the book, your team might not, you know. And maybe even it's not even about like, I want to do it by the book so I can get hired full time. Maybe it's that I really don't agree with how they're teaching this. I have my own philosophy. And I, you know, I've heard from teachers that have a really hard time with balancing that of like their team does it this way and they don't agree with it. And like how to go about handling that.
Yeah, I think that happens really often when you're a new teacher and you want to follow everything. But as a new teacher, I think that it's really easy to feel like you're left out and you have to follow everything they say. And I think that it's good to still follow what they say and to do all the new things, right? You don't have to do what your team exactly as they're doing it, right? I think that as long as you still communicate and you talk about things, you could still do something and stick to the new way of doing things. Because at the same time, I know that as a new teacher, you don't want to get in trouble, right? You don't want to get in trouble and you want to do it like you're supposed to. But I think that that's okay to want to do it. And I think that you could just close your door and at the same time, just teach how you want to. So you could, of course, get along with everyone, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be teaching the same thing at the exact same time and in the same way.
Right. Yeah, and you can say, like, thank you so much. I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea. And I am going to just follow the book right now because I'm feeling like, you know, I really want to make sure that I stay on next year. And I really want to make sure that they, you know, the curriculum people see that. And, you know, I think every teacher gets it. They get what it was like to be non-tenured, to be working towards that. And so I would hope that they would be like, oh, of course. Yeah, you have to do it by the book, you know. And I think just talking about that, too, of like, oh, I, you know, not dissing, like, oh, I really like that idea. I really like, I think I might try it this way this year and we'll see how it goes, you know,
yeah,
and being open about it, but also that it's okay to close your door and do it the way you want.
Yeah. And I think that, of course, thanking them, like how many times, for example, you've probably experienced this where you've had colleagues that drop off something that they think you'll like. I mean, do you always use it? Let's be honest, probably not. But sometimes you do, right? And you appreciate the effort that they put in to give it to you. So just because someone shares a resource doesn't mean that you have to use it and in the same way, right? But it's always nice to thank that person and to keep that open line of communication rather than be like, I don't use your resources, right? Mm-hmm. Or no, I'll never use this. You just got to say thank you and, you know, move on and do what's best, because every teacher is honestly in a different position. People have been teaching many different years at this point, because teaching is a career. You have teachers that are in their first year, but you also have teachers that are teaching 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some teachers are going to be way more comfortable and confident than others. But I think that you got to really ultimately do what's best for you. And yeah, and follow what they're saying and follow the new things if you're a new teacher. And just kind of accept the help and communicate with your colleagues at the same time.
Yeah, accept the help and communicate. Like, I think, one, it's okay to ask for help. As a new teacher, sometimes you feel, or even just new to the grade level, you feel, like, hard asking for help. And if the team is not that forthcoming, or like, hey, we're planning this all together, come sit. If they're not doing that, then you have to advocate for yourself and ask for the help. And it's okay to do that. It doesn't make you look weak at all. It's actually a good thing. If you are new to the team, and you are new to teaching or just new to the team, not acting so cocky, too. Like, being willing to accept help, right?
Yep.
Like, I think, I'm going to be honest, I think when I first started teaching, I came in a little, maybe a little know-it-all-y. Like, I'm like, yeah, I've got these ideas. I'm going to get started. I'm ready to go. And I wasn't quite as accepting of that my teammates' ideas, because I was like, yeah, I've got my own ideas. Thank you. I mean, I didn't say it like that, but
yeah.
I think I'm wary of that now for new teachers, of like, learn from my mistake and be humble too, and like, be willing to accept the help.
And be willing to be flexible to other people's ideas, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it makes people feel good when you use their ideas too. So just be open to hearing what other people have to say, too, on your team. And I think that's definitely going to make you more likable, too, and will definitely start you off on the right foot when you're like, wow, that's a great idea, you know?
Yeah, that's the number one fan, right?
Yeah, yeah. You got to be each other's number one fan. I always say you have to be your colleague's number one fan, the student's parents' number one fan, and your student's number one fan. But it's all the same, because it's developing relationships with people.
Yeah.
So it's the relationships part of my membership and teaching teachers to develop good relationships no matter what.
You know, it's so true, like developing relationship with students and with parents. I mean, our colleagues are the same way. And I think when there's conflict, people, like I, you know, you tend to try to avoid that conflict. But like you said, be open and use the I feel statement, right?
Mm-hmm.
To handle conflict. And I think it's better to get it out there. Because like you said, what's the worst that could happen? It's not going to be worse than before.
Yep. And the I feel statement, I think, is key. And we teach I teach my students the same thing in second grade. So, you know, it's just basically where you're stating how you feel. I feel sad. I feel a little bit upset. You know, think about it from a teacher's perspective. I feel frustrated because. So this is something that is like the simplest line, but the best thing about it is no one can really argue with your feelings. That's why it works with kids so well, and that's why it works with adults so well. You could even use it on your significant other, right? Because no one can really argue with how you're feeling because it's how you're feeling, right? And you're in control of your feelings. So usually people respond better when we use an I feel statement than when, you know, you come in guns a-blazing and you're coming really angry, basically, or mad, or
or like, you did this, or you said that.
Exactly. So definitely just stating how you feel goes better. And sometimes your colleagues won't even know that you're feeling that way, right?
It's funny. That's what we teach our students, that they, our other friends might not even know that you're upset.
Yep. Yeah. So they might not even know. Like, I remember with that first pair, the first pair of ICT teachers, I think when I finally told them that I feel like you're, for example, this was an I statement that I probably used at the time. I feel upset that I want more help and I feel like you're not really sharing resources with me. But yeah, just stating what's going on. And I don't even think they realized that they weren't sharing. They're like, why didn't you just ask, Jenna? Right? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you just ask? Because sometimes you assume that people are just going to share with you because you're new and you just think that people understand that. But they're not thinking, oh, I'm just going to share this. They're thinking they're going to do their own thing because they've been doing their own thing probably for years. And sometimes we just get so caught up with day after day, right, in the school year, that now we're thinking, oh, hey, she needs help. Because maybe you're not looking like you even need help, right? But when we express our feelings, they're like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, sure, I'll share with you. So it could be something really simple that we solve with an I feel statement.
Well, and I think with that situation too, like, I think a lot about how three's a crowd.
Yeah.
And in that situation, three was a crowd, right? Like, you had two best friends and you were the third. And I'm sure people can relate to that, right? Like, especially if you're new to the team and you have two people that are getting along swimmingly, or even if you're in that big team of eight or however many, like, you're going to have cliques. And I have seen that, like, teaching profession is a lot of women tends to be a little on the cliquey side. I mean, obviously, it depends on the culture of your team and your school. But that's generally like a stereotype about teaching, I guess. A little clicky, right? How did you, I don't know, handle that, I guess?
Yeah, with the cliques in the bigger group. I think they naturally happen. But I think that it really depends on your personality. So I'm the type of person that chooses love over hate all the time. I would way rather get along with people than the uncomfortable feeling of not getting along with people. I don't like arguing. I'm good at communicating how I feel, and I know that it's necessary, but I don't need a fight at this point, right? So I think that it really depends on your personality, but I'm the type of person that kind of, I wanted to bring everyone together, and I think that always helps. So even though we had our own separate cliques on our team, we still had these moments where we did things together. So sometimes we would have lunch together, have like a full lunch. So for example, we did a secret Santa type of thing, or you could call it a secret snowflake. Depends on where you're from and what religions you celebrate. So, and holidays you celebrate. So we had moments where we did things all together.
And that's the celebrate part, a fan.
Yep, that's the case. So although, like, I would go to a happy hour or go after school and hang out with one of my colleagues separately, we still had the things where we did things together. I did, for example, we did a gender reveal when I had my baby. We did that together. I think the key is, even though it could be clicky, having these little tiny events that bring everyone together is really important. And you have to be the person to kind of lead that sometimes, and that's okay. And if you're not, then there are other little things that could bring together. Like, suppose you don't want to have a big event, then maybe have a pizza lunch every Friday with your teammates. But yeah, there are these little things that I think bring people together, even though the cliques will just naturally happen. I don't think you can really do anything about that. You can't be like, well, you can't be friends, you know? But I think something you can do is have the little events that make people happy throughout the year, you know?
And it's, you know, you can't control other people. And two people might be just best friends, and that's great for them. Like, you're happy for them, right? That they have a best friend that they work with. Isn't that amazing? And you can still have your own relationship with them too. Like, you might not be their best friend, but you can be friends and you can be good colleagues. You can be helpful teammates to each other. And I think that's a distinction to make too, of like, it's okay if you're not all best friends, and like, you're probably not going to be best friends outside of school. And that's okay, because your focus is really on being good teammates at school.
Yeah. And I think that there's also seasons where you're going to be more involved and, you know, have colleagues that you're closer with. But for example, like me, I recently had a baby. It's going to be harder to hang out with people after school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. But then maybe you do the lunch in school. Maybe that's how you communicate with others, right? Or, and then there are teachers that have been teaching a long time. Maybe their kids are in high school, right? They're willing to have the hangouts. So I think that we also, as teachers, because this is a career, we have people at many points in life. Yeah. And sometimes you bond with someone because something similar happened. I remember in my old school, there were teachers that were all having babies at the same time. They were all pregnant together. That's something they bonded mm-hmm. over, and that's okay, right? Maybe you work out a lot and your friend works out a lot and you go to a class together. I've been to an Orange Theory class with one of my colleagues. But I think that you will see that there are seasons where you become closer. And I also want teachers to understand that just because you're not getting along with your team now doesn't mean in the future you won't. Because here's what happens with teaching and with teams. You're going to have a lot of, usually there are people that come and go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Teachers, they move to different grade levels, or they move schools, or they move in general. They move,
right.
Maybe they move states, right? And then you have other teachers coming in. So maybe your best friend isn't on your team right now, but maybe they'll be in the future. And that's happened a lot over the years for me, where the team was constantly changing, but in the best way. So one year might not be your favorite, but another might be.
That's a great point. You talked about lunch, and that made me think. The most successful teams that I've been on, like, we make a point to eat lunch every day together. And I also know teams that are very successful and do not eat lunch together. And they do their own thing for lunch. So I'm just curious. I am team lunch. I am team take a break, eat together. Don't do work while you eat lunch. Like, just have a break. That's my philosophy for myself. What team were you on?
I've been on both. I think when I was early in my career, I couldn't even think about lunch. Mm-hmm. When I taught in New York City and had over 30 kids in my class, 32 kids, I ate really quickly and then had 1,000 things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But as I started to gain more experience and I could catch my breath a little bit, when I was also in New York City a little later on, I had student teachers, and then I would have lunch with them. So even that little connection and that time we took was so, so important. So I started to realize, okay, maybe it's nice to have, you know, to have people, and maybe I'll get more work done because I'll have that motivation that, oh, I'm not going to do work during lunch. So I have to be more strategic with my time, right? So in the other school, then I ate lunch mostly with colleagues, I would say. And it was way more enjoyable, because taking that break is so good for your mind, right? And then it's just, you really feel like you actually had a break rather than prepping work and then going right into teaching again. Mm-hmm. So I am pro lunch. And I agree with you when you say that the teams that eat together are closer. There is something about eating lunch together during the day that makes teams closer. I totally agree with that, because I've been on both sides, and the teams that ate together were closer. Even if you have an annual, so for example, the whole week you don't eat lunch together, but then on Friday you do a pizza lunch. I've had that too. Everyone that went out for pizza was naturally closer. We had deeper relationships because of it. So, and in like a bagel breakfast, we've done bagel breakfast on Friday as well. So if you know that lunch isn't going to work, maybe having that one day, a breakfast, that could work really well too. But it's just like a consistent thing.
I love that.
A consistent lunch or breakfast. The point is that you're hanging out consistently.
Yeah.
Right? What do you say?
Yeah, I love that. And I agree. I think it really makes a difference to the morale of the team. So if you're listening and you're thinking, wow, they are describing my issues with Teams perfectly. Here's what you could do starting today on your drive to work, starting tomorrow. Plan that consistent time to get together and maybe find something to celebrate as one of your parts of your FAN methodology. I love that. Yeah. So can you tell us again what the FAN stands for? Because I think those are really easy things to do and go forward with that plan of like, yes, teams can get better. Mm-hmm. They don't have to stay that way. Share your resources. I'm probably taking away from the FAN here. I'm just trying to recap here. Share your resources, but it's also okay to ask for help and celebrate together and find that time, that consistent time. So remind us FANs.
Okay, so FANs. So you want to be your students, their families, and your colleagues' number one fans. So the F stands for first impression. So for example, like you were saying about being new to the grade or new to the team, right? You want to definitely be humble, be open to everyone's ideas. And that's if you're new to the team. But if you have someone else, you know how it feels to be new to a team. If you have someone else who is new to the team, definitely help them. And they might not always want help, like we're saying, but help them kind of anyway, right?
Even
like get yourself into a situation where you could help them.
Just reaching out and saying, here's my number. I'm excited for you to join our team. Text me with any questions you have. That's the bare minimum, but like still so welcoming of like, hey, I'm here. You can reach me.
Yep. And even if it's something before school, like a summer meetup, those help too. But for example, remember my situation when I say first impression, the fact that I helped my colleague when she was new to the grade with her classroom library. We stayed after school together. It really helps that. It helps that teacher remember, right? It helps them remember that you helped them and you automatically will have a closer bond. So the F is always have and set a good first impression. The A is always celebrate. So celebrate even if it's the smallest thing, right? Milestones that happen, really good, you know, life events you could celebrate, but birthdays you could celebrate. Always, always celebrate. So that's the A. The N is you need a team mindset. So work as an actual team. Even if you're not sharing resources all the time, still communicate and check in with each other about where you're at so that your grade could stay on the same page, or set up a Google Drive that's really with folders and, you know, hopefully organized. That will help you all stay on the same page each year, but also communicate without having to physically walk into each other's rooms and print out 1,000 copies because no one has time for the broken copy machine, right? So that's the N. And the S is share. So don't just share your resources, but share how you're feeling if something is not going well. So always communicate when things aren't going well using the I feel statements instead of being accusatory or, you know, being walking in very angry and frustrated. So definitely get calm first and then share those I feel statements so that they know how you're feeling. And if it doesn't go well, then you're back where you started. And that's okay. And then, you know, you could ask to move on to a different position the following year if it's not working out. But so F, first impression, A, always celebrate, N, you need team mindset, and S is share.
Oh, yeah, I love that. That's really helpful. And I love that it is the same acronym for whether we're talking about working with our teammates, working with parents, or working with our students. So listeners, if you need extra help with classroom management, with those building relationships with students, parents, your teammates, Jenna here is a wealth of knowledge. So Jenna, where can people find you for more support?
So you can find me at That Strong Teacher on Instagram, and I support all elementary teachers in classroom management. And then I also have a new course that's coming out. It's called Classroom Management Momentum, where I teach you how to build a solid classroom management plan, and I teach you how to do that step by step. And then I also have my membership that's currently called Strong Teacher Community, but it's going to be called Confident Classroom Management. So a membership course, and I have my Instagram at That Strong Teacher.
You have it all. If someone were to do the course, when does it come out, and like who is the ideal person to take the course?
So it's coming out on February 18th. So Wednesday, February 18th. So really soon. And the ideal teachers to take the course, they're elementary teachers. they new is definitely better. So I would say if you're in your years, maybe 1 through 5, definitely going to help you so, so much. And if you're wondering how, if you're constantly giving rewards all the time and you're wondering why they're not working and what else you need to do, then that's where I come in, right? I help you build a rock solid classroom management foundation so that everything starts working and you could finally feel calm instead of feeling chaotic in your classroom. So we work on building a plan together inside the course.
I love that. So this episode is coming out the day after it opens. So how long do they have till it closes?
It's going to be evergreen. So it's you could purchase it whenever, but it is going to be less expensive. So if you happen to be hearing this on the 19th, it's going to be less expensive than it's going to be. And it is a lower price course. So it's right now, as you're listening to this, it's going to eventually be $37. So it's a quick, easy step and a simple laid out plan for you as well. So it's a great starter course and will definitely get you started on the right track.
Love that. All right. Well, listeners, you have your homework to do, and I hope this is helpful. If you have other questions that you want advice on, or if you have feedback on this episode, Jenna and I would love to hear from you. So thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Thank you. So great to be on.
Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.